We welcome you to this week's service from Mooresville United Methodist Church. This week, Pastor Glass's message focuses on Moses' birth. She uses this example to show us when it comes to God's will, His rules are the only ones we should be following. We will now join Pastor Glass with this week's service for the message entitled, Defiance and Deliverance.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Mooresville United Methodist Church. My name is Beth Glass, and I'm the pastor here. And I'm truly honored that you are joining us for worship today, whether you are here in person or you are joining us online. I pray everybody will find this to be a warm and welcoming experience that draws us closer to God and closer to one another. If you're new to our church family, I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you. And if you are new to our church family and you're joining us in person, I'd also draw your attention to the visitor cards that you can find in the pew rack. If you'd like to fill out one of the cards and provide whatever information you're comfortable sharing, we would appreciate that because it gives us a chance to get to know you a little bit better. If you do fill out one of the cards, we invite you to hold on to it until later in the worship service when the ushers will be coming around with the offering plates. You can place it in the plate at that time, and we thank you for it. If you have any change to your contact information, you can also use the visitor card to update that. So if you have a new address or a new telephone number, that's a good way to keep us informed. If you're new to our church family and you're joining us online, again, we welcome you and we invite you to take a minute to introduce yourself to us. You can send an email to the church office at mooresvilleumc@verizon.net. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our church, and I do encourage you to follow us on Facebook or to visit our church website so you can stay up to date with upcoming events and activities. There are a couple things that I would like to lift up in particular today.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 8, and chapter 2, verse 10. Okay. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and, in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians subjected the Israelites to hard servitude and made their lives bitter with hard servitude in mortar and bricks and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to the Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put a child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Leah.
And now, today's message.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, please. So I do want to welcome all of you again as we are gathered together today. I'm glad that you are here, and I pray that each of us will find something in our time together that will help us to better do kindness, love justice, and walk humbly with our God. First, by a show of hands, how many of you consider yourselves rule followers? I am very much a rule follower. I almost never exceed the speed limit whenever I'm driving. When I am walking, if I see a crosswalk, even if there are no cars around and the crosswalk is a half a block away, I will make my way to the crosswalk and cross there. Because.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's my soapbox.
And 1 year after filing taxes, I realized that I had missed $5 in interest income. I filed an amended return that year. Don't mess with the IRS. Thank you very much. Some rules seem more important to follow than others, right? So I normally do not recommend lying or breaking the law. And yet that's exactly what we see in the actions of the women who surrounded Moses in his infancy. Their defiance and their disobedience helped set in motion the deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery. Today, I just want to share some of the details of their story and then invite us to consider whether there are times when we too should be prepared to be both defiant and disobedient. Now, before we go any further, in full disclosure, I shared some of these thoughts with the Women of Warrenton group earlier this month. So it's not all fresh material, but
still good.
But I think the message probably holds true. So let's pray together and then we'll go on. Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
First of all, I want to give us some background for the story that we're going to be focusing on. You remember that decades earlier, there was a young man named Joseph, right? Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat? Okay. Joseph was from a large family, and he was definitely his father's favorite. And as in cases where there is sibling rivalry, his brothers resented the fact that he was their father's favorite. In fact, they resented him so much that they ended up selling him into slavery in Egypt. But through a series of almost miraculous events, Joseph rose from slavery and became Pharaoh's right-hand man. Now, eventually, Joseph and his brothers were reconciled, and Joseph's extended family came to settle in the land of Egypt. Now, that background is important to remember because as the Hebrew people were living in Egypt, they began to flourish. Their numbers multiplied, and they became exceedingly strong. But the passage that Leah read for us today begins with the phrase, "Then a new king came to power who did not remember Joseph and all of the good things that Joseph had done decades previously. Instead, this king saw the descendants of Joseph, foreigners, whom he feared might become too numerous or turn against Egypt. There are too many of them, he thought. They're taking up the resources that the Egyptians need. They may become our enemies." And so he enslaved the Hebrew people. And yet, even while enslaved and oppressed, the Hebrew people continued to grow in number. And so Pharaoh ordered that any male child born to a Hebrew mother was to be killed at birth. It is at this point that the lesson that Leah read picks up the story. Pharaoh has issued this sentence of death for these foreign babies being born in his land, but two midwives, Shipra, whose name means beautiful, and Pua, whose name is associated with glory, are appalled by Pharaoh's decree. The scripture says they feared God, but I think a more accurate reading is that they honored God above the king. And so they did not do as the king commanded them to do. Instead, they let the babies live. Now, word of this gets back to Pharaoh, and so he sends for the women and demands to know why they have been both defiant and disobedient. Now, these are two smart cookies for sure, and they quickly offer an explanation. "Oh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous. And they give birth before the midwife even comes to them." Now, here is where we get a glimpse of the cruelty that inhabited Pharaoh's heart. His first plan was to have the midwives kill the infant boys at birth, with their families left under the impression that the infants simply did not survive childbirth. But when that plan fails, he exercises a next level of cruelty, and he demands not just the midwives, but all people are to execute this sentence against these foreigners. He decreed that everyone was to throw infant boys into the Nile where they would drown. It is in this environment that Moses is born. Thanks to the defiance of the midwives, Shipra and Pua, Moses survives. And then his mother hides him for 3 months. That is no small feat. Our newest grandson is 2 months old. And I can tell you that babies of that age fuss and cry and generally do not cooperate with requests to please hush. When Moses is 3 months old, in defiance of the law, his mother does not drown him in the Nile, but instead makes for him a tiny boat. The Hebrew word for the basket that she makes for him is the exact same word that is used in Genesis for the ark that Noah built. Just as God saved Noah through the waters of the flood in that ark, Moses' mother is desperately hoping that he will be saved from the waters of the Nile. In defiance of the law, Moses' mother trusts her baby to a basket floating in the reeds at the edge of the river. Now, I imagine, scripture doesn't say this, but I imagine she could not bear to watch what would happen next. And so she walks away, mourning the death that she is almost certain is to come. But her daughter, Miriam, stands by. And when the king's daughter comes by and sees the basket with the crying baby in it, she knows that this must be one of the Hebrew children condemned to death. And so, in defiance of her own father's law, she rescues him from the water. And then Miriam, who has seen everything unfold, offers to find someone to nurse the child, and the king's daughter agrees and even offers to pay that woman wages. And that woman is Moses' own mother. So we see several players in this story who defy an unjust rule and whose defiance will eventually lead to the deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery and into the promised land. There are the midwives who defy the decree of Pharaoh. There's the mother of Moses who defies the law and protects her baby as long as she can. There is Miriam who helps watch over her baby brother until she knew he was safe. And then there's the king's own daughter who had pity on this baby and made certain that he could be nursed and raised in a safe place, and then was willing to adopt him as her own against her father's decrees. I think the story of Moses' infancy is a good reminder for a rule follower like me that sometimes there are rules we should not follow. In France during World War II, the government worked hand in hand with the occupying Nazi forces. You can read a stunning account, firsthand account, from a young boy who survived that experience. It's entitled After the Roundup. It is estimated that 75,000 French Jews were deported and later killed, and that includes over 10,000 Jewish children. To me, those numbers are staggering, mind-boggling. But not everybody supported the Nazis in their efforts. There's a small village in France called Le Chambron. It had a population of about 5,000 people. And during the course of the war, the villagers, led by their pastor and his wife, refused to cooperate with the policies of their government. Instead, they worked to protect and hide any and all Jewish people who came to their town. Sometimes they hid Jewish refugees in their houses for long periods of time, months and even years. They took in Jewish children whose parents had already been killed or deported, and they hid them in convents and in schools, making up Christian names for them to protect them. Sometimes they provided false passports. Sometimes they helped smuggle families into nearby Switzerland. And they did this at great personal risk because there were constant raids. And if they were caught hiding Jewish people, they too could be sent off to the camps or killed outright. In fact, the pastor's brother was executed in just that way. They put their lives on the line, but they did not give up. And this little tiny town with 5,000 villagers saved over 5,000 Jewish lives. Now, it might not be that dramatic for us, but the truth is we face choices like those villagers did. We may not see people being killed for their religious heritage, but we all have times when we have seen people being bullied or belittled because of the way they look or because of their beliefs, or for countless other reasons that people make up to justify behavior like that. So when we are confronted by intolerance and oppression, we have a choice. We can pretend not to see, we can run away and protect ourselves, or like Shipra and Pua, Moses' mother, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, and the people of Lashamon, we can take a risk and stand up for what is right. And I'll tell you, as a rule follower, I would like every choice to be simple and straightforward. But sometimes faithfulness requires us to honor God above the rules, to do kindness, to love justice, and to walk humbly with our God, even when doing so comes at a cost. Because sometimes defiance is the first step toward deliverance. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the example of those who honor you above all else. And we ask that you will help us follow their example. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. You join me now in affirming our faith with a modern affirmation. You can find the words on the screen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. We have been greatly blessed by God's love, and we offer our gratitude as we share our tithes and our offerings. If you do choose to support the church financially, we thank you for your generosity. And whether you're in person or online, there's also an opportunity for electronic giving if you choose to do that. And again, we thank you for your generous support. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for the many gifts that you have given to us and the many ways that you have blessed us. We offer these, our gifts, as a sign of our thanks. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them and use them and us in your service, that we might share the good news of your saving love with the hurting world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. I send you out as those who will do kindness, love justice, and walk humbly with your God. And I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's service. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC. If you'd like to support Mooresville United Methodist Church financially, there are a variety of ways. You can give in person, online at www.easytithe/MooresvilleUMC, or by texting DONATE to 540-300-1616. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at www.mooresvilleumc.org. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.